to talk about how terrible the Better Call Saul finale was?
I guess, yeah.
So, do you think it was better than the Breaking Bad finale?
Yes, by far.
Really?
You didn't, huh?
What? I did. Okay, I did not like. I thought the Breaking Bad finale was okay. It was seemed a little bit contrived. I didn't have a huge problem with it. I'd give it like 6.5 out of 10. But like, I'm looking up the ratings on which one was better according to the internet. But oh my gosh, I hated the stupid Better Call Saul finale with a passion. Like the process and the where they were taking the characters, like totally, I had no problem with that. But the storytelling method they used to get there was just abysmal, and I hated most of the last season. Like, they did that whole, you know, because he kept flashing back to black and white, and it took me a while to figure out, like, is he flashing forward? Is he flashing back? Like, what's going on? And then in the very, 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 you know, in the finale, he actually flashes forward. But they don't make any explanation to that. Like, it's also black and white. I don't know, man.
Wait, you didn't know when he's working at the Cinnabon whether that was a flash forward or flash back?
I assumed it was a flash. I mean, it has to be a flash forward, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty straightforward. It's everything that is post Breaking Bad, basically, was black and white. Like, literally everything.
There were a couple times where he flashed back because, like, he flashed back to his brother who was dead, and that was in black and white. And he
that wasn't black and white, was it?
No, I don't even remember, man. I was so angry. I hated.
Well, you know, the time machine played a big role in the last like four episodes. Like I think specifically the last season and the last episode, the finale. Like,
what time machine? What are you talking about?
Well, they show the book H.G. Wells' Time Machine. His brother Chuck is reading that book.
Oh, really?
And then up at the very beginning of the season, I think they show that book. But I mean, that didn't really make. But they talk about it, like there's three flashbacks. There's one with Mike when they're in the desert and they're like talking about the money. And they say, like, oh, if you had a time machine, where would you go back and change?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
They do that three times. They talk about the time stuff. So there's it is jumping around a lot, but it's like kind of a theme of the whole show, of the whole finale, is like going back to different points in Jimmy's life and like where he made bad decisions and basically showing he had, you know, he kind of lacked self-awareness, self-reflection, and kind of never took responsibility for things.
Right.
Until the very end when he like confesses, you know, he had a great deal in, you know, for like a good sentence, and then he somehow gets God, what's her name? The main girl, Kim.
Yeah. And
Kim in to the court
just confesses.
Yeah, confesses everything and like and kind of ruins his whole deal just to redeem himself, mostly for her, I think. I don't know. Yeah, that's a great. I mean, there's so many things they do there.
I think you're right. That part of it was great because, like you said, he's a terrible person the entire show. He cares about nobody but himself. I mean, he sells out his own brother.
I wouldn't say he's a terrible person, but he just definitely lacks self.
He's extremely selfish for six seasons until you get to the very finale and he decides that he's gonna, you know, change his ways and help out Kim. Like, that's cool. Like, that's a good character arc. He realizes his flaws. He decides, you know, hey, I don't even have to, you know, she left me. I've got a good deal. I get nothing out of confessing other than it's the right thing to do. And he does it anyway. That's cool. I have no problem with that. I like his character arc. I hated with a passion the storytelling and the jumping forward in time and the jumping back.
You didn't like the flashbacks.
Just confusing. It was like I couldn't keep up with what he was doing. What was the – explain to me the point. I completely didn't understand the B plot where he goes and he meets that lady and her son and they basically do that – you know, they do a heist at – Nordstrom's or whatever, like clothing store that was. What was the whole point of that whole thing? That was like the plot of like three or four different episodes. And then,
I agree. They didn't really, emphasize that enough, but I've listened to some podcasts as I was watching through the show and stuff. So I knew this the whole time, but like, at the very beginning, I don't think it was even this season. I think it was the last season when they go there. There's some little scenes of him at the Cinnabon. There's a customer that comes up to him and recognizes him. He's, hey, you're Better Call Saul. And like, you know,
right.
Jimmy's like, you know, pretty freaked out at that point. That's the kid that he meets up with later to do those jobs. And he does that so that, basically, they're in it together, and he can tell on him. He has dirt on him, right? He has like all of these potential felony, you know, charges that he could bring about.
So that whole thing was just a big long con, so that guy couldn't turn him in.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
I think that's fine. I think they could have communicated it better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they communicated it very well. It was probably about halfway through the last season that I was so fed up with the jumping forward and that the storytelling method, I kind of started tuning the show out, you know, and I was just spending more time on my phone than I was watching the show. So in all fairness, I did not give the show like dedicated attention like it probably deserved. But I was just not a fan of the jumping around. Like I just couldn't keep track of, okay, there's a plot line in the present. There's a plot line in the future. Now he's flashing back to his dead brother. Like, where is this going? Like it doesn't, I don't know, man. It didn't,
yeah,
it didn't complete the story. Like it didn't add to it, you know, in a way I wanted it to.
Cause we got hints of the Cinnabon thing and I wasn't really sure if they were actually going to do anything with him as in, you know, showing him later after Breaking Bad with a secret identity in the Cinnabon, you know, like kind of his life was, I mean, that would be a fairly fine conclusion of him just being, just kind of hidden with barely a life left and not being able to do much, working at a Cinnabon in his 50s or 60s or something. But they go into that more. I mean, that's basically all there is to it. They just, you know, they tie the events from the main show that timeline into that future post Breaking Bad. So they flash forward a couple in the last four episodes. Like they have episodes all included in that post Breaking Bad ones. I think they have like two, maybe three or something like that. You know, yeah, involving that. And I thought that was cool. They just developed that part of it more.
That B plot where he's like, you know, basically conning the security guards so that they won't look at the screen, you know, like that was well done. Like, because he put time and effort into like building that relationship and bringing him a Cinnabon and, you know, making up sports statistics or whatever just to like connect with him. Like,
yeah,
that was cool. But again, like, that was like a three or four, that whole quote unquote heist was like a three or four episode arc. And it was long and drawn out, and I just didn't feel like it added enough to the story that they could dedicate that many episodes to it.
Well, so I think it was necessary. I liked it a lot. I thought it was necessary because it you know, Jimmy went to this great extent to cover his tracks and to protect himself and his identity and to like move forward, you know, without the loose end, so to speak. And then he does that successfully. And then he's like, now what? I mean, I'm alone in my apartment. I can't talk to anybody. I don't have friends. You know, they show him buying that little foot massager thingy that he used to have in his Better Call Saul office.
No, and, I didn't remember and, that.
I mean, it's a short scene. I just remember it because I thought, wow, you know, he thinks he has everything he's going to probably ever have at that point, as much as he could get. And then so he pushes it further. He says, that's just not enough. I don't really care about the loose ends. I don't really care so much. He's not fully like, I want to get caught, but this is where he starts slipping. He pushes more cons with that guy, you know, stealing or like conning all these people's at the bars. Right. And getting, and,
oh, that's he, right.
He,
yeah.
He was them out. Yeah.
Right.
And even then he does that so well. There's one where it gets dicey and he's about to leave and he's, you know, almost gets away with it where the guy wakes up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before he wakes up, he had to cover for his friends and go in himself in that house. And he even then, covering up for his friend, I think the cops are there at that point. He goes up the stairs and just kind of moseys around and like pushes it even further and further. So it just shows his gradual decline in his competency, almost willfully, like he's trying to get caught. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that whole sequence myself, you know.
The characters were good. The story arc was ultimately great. The storytelling just really turned me off. I was not a fan, so.
Fair enough.
But I think maybe had I known a little bit more about that B plot with who was it? It was Carol Burnett, right? Carol Burnett and her, you know, son and that heist, like if I had a little bit more of like a background on why he was doing that and why they spent so much time on it. It might've been, you know, a little more, it might've made it better for me. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't know what was going on, that would be more confusing.
Well, I mean, that clearly wasn't explained very well. So, I mean,
and it was actually even a different actor at, who like confronted him in the Cinnabon in I think the previous season and like recognized him. I think they even did a different actor.
Oh, really?
To play that same guy. So that made it more confusing. Yeah.
So I mean, it could have been the same guy with like a name tag on that says my name is John Smith and I still wouldn't have made the connection probably.
Yeah, I think they might have did like a flashback at one point, you know, or like a last time on and briefly explain that. But yeah, I agree. I don't think I would have got that if I wasn't like listening to podcasts about it and stuff. So okay. I agree, but still those were cool scenes. The heists.
They were. Yeah.
Carol Burnett is funny.
They were out in the middle of that field and they were like, you know, setting it up and doing paces and doing trial runs. Like, yeah, that was cool. And I kept expecting like that to be the big gigantic finale. Like he's going to get one big heist and then, you know, fly to, you know, Mexico and live the rest or something. And it doesn't really go anywhere. Like you're right. The entire payoff of that whole subplot with whatever that guy's name was, Carol Burnett's kid was okay. Now I've got dirt on you and you know, it's mutually assured destruction and then like star wipe. And then it cuts to him and Kim. Like, wait a minute, that's, I don't know. Wasn't my favorite, but clearly I am in the minority because yeah, the season finale, and I think all of season 6 had amazing reviews.
So yeah, I see your criticism. So you still think it's worse than the Breaking Bad finale though?
Again, I only because of the way they told the story and it wasn't clear to me. And that made me like it a lot less. I don't feel like that show, just the way, maybe it was just the way my brain works, but like, you know, the quote unquote time travel, the telling two different stories in two different time periods requires a lot more attention or a lot more focus on my part. And maybe I just couldn't handle that, or I was tired when I was, I just couldn't keep track of all of it. And it just became confusing to me. And then it was like, after several episodes of that, where they're jumping around and I was having a hard time following the plot, it became work. Like, oh my gosh, like, can't you just tell a story from start to finish? Like, you don't have to be like, you don't have to be so precious and, you know, not everything has to be a flash, this artsy flash forward in black and white. You know, I'm like, you're not Christopher Nolan. Not everything has to be about time travel or anyway.
The whole show was super indulgent though. I mean, come on.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, the last season was extra indulgent, fan servicey. I mean, they had the scenes with Jesse and Walter, Mike.
Right.
Some of those felt unnecessary.
I mean, they brought Marie back, like, of all people. I was like, why is Marie here? Like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I had to stop and think. I mean, my memory's not that good. Like, I haven't seen Breaking Bad in a long time. Like, who was left where? Who's alive? Like, what? Like, I didn't even remember. I had to have Doug tell me. Like, I'm like, what happened to Mike? Like, Mike's dead, right? So I read online something about, like, we know how Mike dies. And I was like, wait a minute. Did I miss an episode of Better Call Saul? But that's like, no, he dies in Breaking Bad. Like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's just.
Yeah. I love Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is my favorite show.
Of all time, really?
Of all time, yeah. And I've seen it a couple times through. So I'm pretty familiar with it, and I appreciated sort of the care that went into this final season. And care or fan service, what do you want to call it?
Maybe it could be both. Maybe
a little over the top on its like flashbacks and the whole stuff with Kim. I loved like showing her situation and then, you know, her confession. It's a little out there. It's kind of like,
all right, well, okay. Explain this to me. Cause there was the one point she was working for the sprinkler company, like after they split up and yeah. he tracks down her phone number and he calls her at work and she answers the phone. And once she realizes who it is, like she gets this look on his face, on her face, like he just killed her puppy. Like she does not want to talk. Like there's like 30 seconds where he's talking and she's not saying anything. Like she's so uncomfortable. And like I didn't fully understand. And again, I was like confused by the jumping forward and jumping back. Like what did he do that was so completely horrible that she just decides that she can't even talk to him anymore? Like she can't even stand hearing his voice.
Well, there was the divorce, which was earlier.
Right.
And the way that scene went down was pretty cold. He kind of like blew her off and said, hey, you know, sign here. I'm Better Call Saul. I'm doing great, you know, whatever. And like basically ignored her. So they were parted on very cold terms in the divorce, okay, I guess. And so
I honestly don't even remember that scene. Like it didn't stand out. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, it was fairly quick in his, like, almost Breaking Bad era timeline. Yeah,
okay.
In that office.
Like, she was so angry at, like, visibly angry at him that I was, like, I kind of, like, paused it and I had to, like, stop and think. I'm like, did he, you know, like, I don't know, did he rat her out? Did he kill her dad? Like, why is she so angry? And the only thing I could, yeah, come up with was, like, yeah, well, they separated, but, I mean, they separated for at least on okay terms. Like it wasn't like he, you know, emptied out her bank account and left her with nothing. I mean, it was,
I didn't get that she was like particularly angry. I thought more that it was a reminder that she can't really get away from it. Like she was trying to live a whole separate life, right, with these sprinkler people. And like, she was a totally different person there. And like, you know, you could tell she's miserable, I think. And then she getting a call from Jimmy is like pops her out of it a little bit. And she like realizes she can't really keep doing this. And so she makes the only moral decision she could at that point, and like just confess everything, give up her, I think she had to lose her lawyer.
Her law license, right?
Yeah. And basically, you know, she starts working for like a nonprofit law firm of some sort.
Actually, that one scene where she's in the court with whatever her client was, and she tells the judge, she was like, I'm going to resign or remove myself from this case. And the judge is like, no, you can't. We're in the middle of this case. And she was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm I'm not going to be this guy's lawyer anymore. And like the judge will just will not let her quit. And he was like, unless you give me a really good reason, I'm going to force you to be this guy's lawyer. And she's like, well, I resigned my law commission and I whatever suspended or I gave up my law license this morning. So it's illegal for me to represent this guy. I was like, wow, that's a pretty serious mic drop. Like, oh, all right. That was kind of cool. But yeah, her, I wasn't particularly happy with the way her story ended up. Cause it was like, yeah, she just walks away from this guy and then goes and gets a job at a sprinkler place. And I don't know.
Well, then she confesses and then she works for a nonprofit.
Yeah, that's true.
She, so she's kind of keeping it real and paying as much penance as she can at that point. And then meets up with Jimmy at the very end. Jimmy's in jail. I think that's a great ending scene.
Yeah.
They kind of make
amends. Wasn't that all in black and white? Like, except, what was it? Like, except for her shirt or something that was yellow or...
Oh, yeah. I don't remember.
Stylistically, it was kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually mirrored their the first scene they had together where they shared a cigarette in a parking lot and there was like the shadow similar. I saw like a YouTube thing. I didn't pick up on it, but it felt really good as a scene to like finish the whole series with the, and their relationship. Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty great. It was, it didn't feel so cliche like the Breaking Bad one did. Although what can you do at the end of Breaking Bad? I wasn't super upset with that one. It just kind of felt like, kind of like they threw their hands up and like, okay, we got to kill him. What are we going to, we'll do a zoom out with him bleeding on the floor. Okay. That's fair. But
I mean that whole, like the contraption, you know, whatever that machine gun thing he builds in his trunk, like it was, that was just like a one in a million shot, right? Like A, is this gun thing going to work? And B, cause it shoots at the same, whatever height, you know? So I think like all the bullets went into the side of that building at exactly 2.5 feet or 3 feet up. So if anybody happened to be sitting down or laying down, like they would have been completely fine. But of course, every single bullet hits and all the bad guys get killed. I don't know. I thought that sort of felt like a little Deus Ex Machina there. Like it's just too convenient that everything worked so perfectly. But I mean, it wasn't terrible. That wasn't great. I mean, I didn't hate it. So.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I think this show kind of like does a better finale for the entire, like, you know, cinematic universe in a way. Like,
yeah.
It brings in a final, for Marie, you know, like, giving her a conclusion and seeing like the last of the people that had something to do with her husband's death, going to jail and seeing some justice. And, and you get some scenes back with Walt. I loved the scene with Walt in the flashback with Walt.
Okay. That's a really good question. That reminds me, cause that was one question I had. What the crap was the deal where, Jimmy and Walt were in that, I don't even know what it was, underground prison cell or whatever. And the water heater was leaking and they were hiding out. Like I completely didn't understand that.
Yeah, that was when they were they're basically waiting for the vacuum man to like pick them up and give them new identities.
What vacuum man?
The vacuum you know, when you order like a Hoover or whatever,
yeah.
That's a code for getting a whole new identity. It's like some $500,000 thing where
oh, really?
Yeah.
So they were just hiding. I'm trying to remember what happened. Like I can't remember the water heater like went out and it wouldn't work and Jimmy was like, who cares? And like Walt was like, do you got a paperclip on you? Like, I'm going to fix this. And I was like, what is this? Why? Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's been a while, but I just remember loving that scene. I'd have to watch
really?
It again. I remember seeing more about Walt that I hadn't really maybe realized before. Yeah, it was great. You know,
all right. Do you think, I mean, other than fan service, do you think having Walt and Jesse in Better Call Saul added to it? Like, did it add to the story?
add is maybe a strong word, but it was fun. It was, you know,
it felt, I mean, and I get that most of Better Call Saul was fan service. It was, you know, we're going to play the greatest hits, but it felt
I don't agree with that. I think the last season was that there was like the one flashback where they go actually with Jesse and Walt, and they kind of they show that whole scene of them kidnapping Better Call or Saul in their RV. They, from his point of view, like,
oh, right. Yeah,
wakes up and it's all from his point of view. And like, so you get a different viewpoint of that, but that kind of felt very fanservy. But the three flashbacks in the final episode felt very purposeful in a way that's, you're kind of going back and seeing how Jimmy doesn't really reflect on his life, but you're seeing the other three characters and seeing them like truly reflect on their life a little bit. I mean, Walt, I remember Walt said, okay, so he asked about the time machine. I don't remember about Chuck. Chuck was more about offering him some like real help and like actually trying to reach out to him. Which was like I guess one of the few times he did that. And so that was important. But the other two times he asked him about the time machine and like, what, if you could go back, what would you change? Mike almost says one thing and then he says, no, it's really the first time I took a bribe. And so he's realizing for sure, like this one time,
right? Like that's when it all went wrong.
This is where I went down.
Yeah,
the bad road, and Jimmy gives some fake answer in both of these instances, and so I guess you're just kind of building the case for him, like slowly, or getting to the place where he has to like actually face his bad behavior and, you know, make amends, I guess.
You know, the one thing I really actually did like about season six was when they killed Howard, because like I did not see that coming at all. Like Howard just shows up at their apartment and he calls him out, you know, for all the shenanigans they were pulling on him. And then
That was end of season five, right?
Was it? I thought it happened like in the middle of season six. I don't remember. Yeah, anyway.
And the beginning of season six, they have to deal with his body.
Is that what it was? Have the break. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it was crazy. Like it was like a really tense situation. Like he's finally figured out and he's cornered them both. And then like Lala Salamanca just walks in the front door and just straight up executes him in the face. Like it was hardcore. Like, oh
yeah.
So now they've got a whole new problem. This problem's probably even worse than the problem they already had. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. They were really picking on Howard and like kind of, you kind of feel bad for Howard there. Like,
yeah,
at the end, and then
because they're totally gaslighting him, he's trying to tell his wife what they're doing, and his wife is like, "Really? Like that's not a thing. Like, what are you mm-hmm. talking about?" Yeah, it was rough.
Even at the funeral, Kim totally covers and continues to gaslight her, and then eventually that's the big thing that she repents on is Howard. That's the main thing, I think. Yeah, she's kind of feels bad about the Howard thing is big. Yeah, and he's buried with Lalo in the meth factory. Meth factory stuff, the underground meth lab.
Yeah,
that was cool to see kind of the origin of that.
Oh yeah, because Gustavo's down there and like he's got his gun on it, or Salamanca has his gun on him, and like there's no way Gustavo is going to get out of this, but I mean, like, you know, he does because he's in Breaking Bad. Like, that was an interesting, like, escape. Like, yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was so cool. Like,
he
shuts the lights or something, and he kind of just fires, like, in a general direction. And you can tell, that's like one of the few moments he actually looks really freaked out.
Yeah, he's like the most put together character in the entire show. And that's the only time you ever see him, like, break and show fear.
Yeah. And he's just
like the entire, like the mob is coming after him, and these huge drug cartels are like gunning for him, and he never breaks. But then like that one time where he's face to face down there, it's just him and Salamanca. You see him realize it.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm drawing a blank. What's the director's name?
Gil. Oh God, I'm blanking too.
What's he going to do next? Has he said?
No, that's Tony Gilroy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he had two back-to-back hits. So he had clearly Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. So, I mean, that's 11 seasons of, like, critically acclaimed television, right?
Oh, Vince Gilligan. Yeah.
There you go. He had a really good run on, I mean, didn't he? He got his start on The X-Files, if I remember right. Or like that was kind of his breakout. Was he had a really long, great run on The X-Files too. He had good pedigree from that. So like I think at this point he's probably Hollywood royalty. I'm just curious if he has said, you know, I'm going to do blah, blah, blah next.
He did. Yeah. I think he said he was going to do like a sci-fi thing. Like, he did say something. Let me look that up.
Let's see. He did. I'm looking at Vince Gilligan. He was a writer on a crap load of stuff. Let's just see. This is not in order. Why did they do this? Yeah, he did a bunch of X-Files, obviously Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. Oh, he did part of The Lone Gunman, too.
Okay, so he's going to do a paranormal drama with Ray Seahorn, who played Kim.
Paranormal drama? So it's going to be like X-Files-ish? Like, oh, interesting.
Oh, maybe. I thought it was going to be like sci-fi, but hard to say. I really like that actress, so that could be cool.
Oh, he guest starred on Community. Yeah, so basically his entire writing career is, he wrote Hancock, interesting. And then it's just a crap load of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul credits. And what the heck is Metastasis? An episode, never even heard of this show, but he wrote several of them, huh?
Oh, he said, Seahorn will play a traditional hero. After 15 years, I figured it was time to take a break from writing anti-heroes.
Oh, really?
It could be fun.
Like, you're tuned out already?
I mean, the anti-heroes are more interesting, but he's a great TV producer, so...
Yeah, like I said, I think he's got the pedigree now that he can probably write his own paycheck, because I think that they'll probably give him whatever he wants.
Yeah, he says his follow-up to Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul was highly anticipated, according to Deadline, with 8 to 9 networks lining up to hear the pitch. It's set to have a high budget and have significant genre elements.
Interesting. Well, like I said, I mean, he cut his teeth on X-Files, and the X-Files stuff that he did was really good. I mean, X-Files ran for 12 seasons. I mean, he only did part of it, but he did a lot of the really good stuff, so.
I didn't know that until I learned.
I'm trying to see if some of these X-Files episodes, if I remember. Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see, what he does next. Paranormal, huh? Okay.
Hmm.
How about this? So we're talking about finales. Reddit had a thing the other day. Like, what is, maybe you can't just pick one, but if you had to pick, you know, one or a top three best TV series finales of all time.
The Shield, top 10, top number one.
Okay.
Finale. I'll give you
that. That was great. Absolutely. Anything else even jump out at you?
Not really. I mean, I think Better Call Saul is probably up there.
Yeah, I can see that. Now that you explain a little bit more, it makes a little bit more sense. I just had a problem with the way they told the story. I mean, that's just a personal thing, not a, you know.
The Seinfeld ending. A lot of people don't like Seinfeld's finale, but I liked it.
I thought it was fine for what it was. It was exactly what it was what I expected it to be like. It was what I wanted it to be like. These people are terrible and they finally, you know, get what they deserve. Like, I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, they're still complaining about little nitpicks in there and like sitting in
Yeah, right.
And they get out on top, like they said, they didn't like decline in quality and then get canceled. They were
legitimately on the top of their game. I mean, they only did, what was it, 7 seasons?
I think 8.
Was it 8? I mean, at the time, you know, like Cheers did what, I think 11 seasons, 12 seasons, and Roseanne did 9 seasons. I mean, they definitely could have gone like a whole nother like 3 or 4 more seasons and it would not have been a problem.
Oh, sorry. They did nine.
Did they? Okay.
Seinfeld. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever watch, I just Googled best TV finales of all time. Oh, the Shield made number 9. Did you ever watch 6 Feet Under?
Oh yes,
that's my all time favorite finale of all time. It's amazing.
I forgot about that one. Yeah, that's a great finale. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I would put that as number 2.
According to this list, Better Call Saul was 9, 6 Feet Under is 2, and I'm still scrolling. What's left? Cheers, 1 for the Road. Oh come on! I just watched Angie and I watched all of Cheers. I mean, I can't even remember. It's legitimately like 11 or 12 seasons. And it definitely got like super long in the tooth. It got like super like cliche sitcom-y. Like I was really happy when it was over. I was like,
yeah. And I never got into Cheers that much. Yeah.
This list has Parks and Rec on it. I don't really remember that finale. The Mad Men finale. I remember it being weird. Like he just kind of goes and Seinfeld, okay. Larry Sanders, Angel. Really? Friends, like who cares?
Where's Shield? Is Shield on there?
Yeah, Shield's number 9 out of 20.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Better Call Saul was 9. Is that
Better Call Saul on there? Hang on. Where was that? Newhart, Sopranos, Buffy, Wire, MASH.
And this is the definitive list, right?
Oh, yeah. This is, absolutely. This list is from 2016, so Better Call Saul isn't even on here.
Oh.
But Breaking Bad is. Do you even remember? Because they have the Sopranos on here. I don't even remember the Sopranos finale.
I didn't. That's my list of shame. I've never watched.
Oh, you haven't watched? All the way
through? No. I've been wanting to. Me and Carrie tried to a little bit ago, and she didn't totally get into it.
I was watching a YouTube video, and they were talking about that the Sopranos was the birth of the anti-hero on television, that there were not really any shows before the Sopranos with an anti-hero as the main character. Like, and so I had to like kind of do like some thinking, because, you know, I mean, Tony Soprano is a pretty likable character, but he's a terrible guy. And then I started thinking, well, because now it's like completely cliche. I mean, like everything's an anti-hero now, like it's a whole genre now, but it wasn't really a thing until.
I think that wasn't that like kind of the one of the. It might be the first like premiere television like that wasn't like sitcom-y, actually had like there's a word for it, like premiere.
I don't know.
Let me think.
Well, it was also on. I mean, it was on HBO, and which at the time was cool because they had a whole lot less rules than sitcom than network television did, you know, so they could, the episodes could be different lengths and they could swear and they could show more violence. And like, I remember when it came out, like it was a kind of like a genre defining show, like, oh, TV shows don't have to be like super formulaic and, you know, have a format that you always fit into exactly 44 minutes and everything is wrapped up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like Sopranos was like the birth of like modern good television, because a lot of things before that, you know, everything, you know, especially before the, you know, before DVRs and before streaming, like, you know, you didn't get a chance, like you missed the Seinfeld finale, like you don't, if they don't air that crap again, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good show. I should watch it.
It was good. 6 Feet Under, Cheers. I'm looking at another list, see if anything else jumps out at me. Apparently Newhart had a really good finale. I don't remember that. I mean, that was all right, whatever. This is from the AARP. That's probably why Newhart's on there. What was the Matlock finale like?
I loved Matlock.
I was good. I was like I remember watching like Perry Mason and Matlock like back to back when I was in school. Like you stay home from school or in the summer vacation. It was like, all right, it's noon. I'm going to have a peanut butter jelly sandwich and watch Perry Mason.
Like Nick at Night, right? Or
oh, I'm talking about
TV Land on Nick, or you watch the.
I'm talking about watching it during primetime, like on like Channel 12 or whatever. I never had cable growing up. Actually, that's a good show. Did you watch the new Perry Mason?
I did not.
I'm trying to remember. Was it on Showtime or HBO? Like they did like kind of like a gritty reboot. It's still set in, you know, olden times.
It has the guy from The Americans who I really like. And I should have watched that. Do you watch The Americans?
No.
Yeah, The Americans is great.
The Americans. Should I know what this is? I don't even know if that stands out.
It's they're like Russian spies living in America.
Oh, okay.
Playing as Americans. It's great.
Did you finish Ozark?
No, I lost interest.
The Ozark finale is really interesting. Dude, the last...
I heard it got really bad, or at least the finale I think I heard was really bad.
The finale does not end in any particular way. Like, it's sort of like The Shield, right? Like, they either have to kill Vic Mackey or he has to win. There's no in-between, right? Like, whatever is going to happen is going to come to a head in the finale, and then it's going to be star wipe and the show is over. That is not what happens in Ozarks. In the Ozarks, like, they kind of just wrap things up and they just keep going on with their life, and that's it. They essentially get away with it, and there's no real closure either way. It's weird. It wasn't bad, but the credits rolled and I was like, oh, okay, so there's gonna be this, you know, there must be one more episode. Nope. Like, it's just over, and there's not any real closure for any of the characters. But the last season is like really dark. Like, it gets ugly. They get in some serious crap, and like their kids turn on them. And yeah, it was good TV.
Well, that gets into that area, and that's why I stopped kind of watching it. It kind of got into the misery porn era.
Yeah, it was a little bit of that for sure.
Like it seemed like the entire purpose was to just create miserable situations as much as miserable as possible, you know.
Yeah,
this is what really turns me off like about horror movies, where that is the point, is to be as like demented and ugly as possible, or as to be as miserable, like The Bridesmaid Tale.
Handmaid's Tale.
yeah that was
the first season of that was fantastic. When, like, you know, when it's a morality tale, like, look, this is what's going to happen if you, you know, don't, you know, pass some laws to protect some of these rights that people have, like that. I was totally on board with that. But like you said, like, I think it was by season three when it was just like they weren't getting anywhere. It was just that, like you said, the same characters just getting beaten down over and over and over again. Yeah, it just becomes. What is it? Is it Schadenfreude, where you enjoy watching other people suffer?
Yeah, I don't know if that's hopefully what people aren't deriving enjoyment from, but like it is more, it's creating tense situations,
right?
For the sake of creating as tense and ugly a situation as possible, I think that there has to be some other reason. There has to be like some character project, like, we have this character, we want to see this character grow or decline or some like plan for the characters, rather than just the situations being awful. Like, because yeah, I think that's where I depart from like Ozark versus like Breaking Bad was very ugly and like kind of created all these, it ramped up those awful situations, but it was really focused on the character of Walter White and the other characters around him and stuff. And so you had a feeling that there was more to it than just, let's see what awful situation we can derive of the season, you know?
Mm-hmm.